Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Stephen the Warman Rice Kickfighting Show. I'm your host, Stephen the Warman. You are listening to this podcast in one of two ways. Either you are at my blog, lordgaul.podbean.com. I try to upload an episode to that once a week. Or you are in the most efficient way to get the show, which is in the iTunes search engine. All you have to do is go to iTunes, enter lordgaul, or enter Warman Kickfighting Show. And the podcast should pop right up. And for the big-time Twitter followers, you can find me on twitter.com/StephenTheWarman, one word. So, got a lot to talk about. Some of you guys are noticing that this is the 200th episode. I mentioned it last week. It's not really a 200th episode. I will do something special for it because, you know, being on iTunes for 200 episodes is pretty cool. Just won't do that today. I'm going to do the, you know, previews today. It's going to be a big part of it. I'm going to do results next week, and then like 2 weeks down the road, I'll do something special where I give you guys like a bunch of, you know, maybe behind the scenes stories of experiences that I've had in kickboxing. So just some of the backstage stories that go along that some people enjoy. I'll go ahead and give you some of those in a couple weeks to kind of celebrate the occasion. But first things first, I want to do my best to talk about as many things in the kickfighting world as possible. I'm going to go ahead and start off with some stadium Muay Thai. There was a Raja show that took place the other day. It happened on the 16th or the 24th of the month. The two fights I'm going to talk about, one, Sexan, as he takes on Thaksin Lek. Sexan, S-E-K-S-A-N, Thaksin Lek, T-H-A-K-S-I-N-L-E-K. And once again, all you have to do is go to Muay Thai's, M-U-A-Y, space, ties, T-I-E-S, ties, like ties, neckties, as opposed to, the TIE fighters. So you go to that YouTube page, subscribe to that page. They do a great job of uploading shows all the time. I always wanted to make sure I give due to someone who's doing their best to get Muay Thai and kickboxing out to the world. So shout out to all of those people who go to that site and for Muay Thai's for putting that up for the people. Sexan, this fight right here was the reason why you love him. Basically, you go out rounds two and three. Sexan's doing the Sexan. He's coming out. He's throwing heat. He's trying to land kill shots. Lands a big shot. Gets Thaksin Lek in trouble. Drops him. Scores a legit down. You know, they don't have flash downs. He gets a count and everything. So he gets up on the scorecard big with that one. The moment it lands, the moment Thaksin Lek gets up to his feet, Sexan comes in winging wild shots, you know, at points and I, you know, that style of who cares, you've got to go. Just throwing wild shots. He still looks for elbows here and there, but he's bringing the aggression. He's bringing the war. Then all of a sudden, the slickness of Thaksin Lek takes over the fight. He is running Sexan into huge body shots, the body kicks that are affecting him, not just kicks that just land and bounce off and are defended or he walks through. These ones are moving his body. He's not defending them at all. Sexan is still looking to land big. Thaksin Lek, of course, is still landing the smoothness of his kicks, his movement. And then he starts to get, when Sexan starts to go into clinch positions, every single time, I want to say at least six times, of the seven that I recall off the top of my head, there was a sweep or a dump or a trip that happened right away. So Saxon's just getting up off the mat, and this happens for, you know, pretty much two rounds, the whole second half of the third round, and then the whole fourth round is this Sexan really just getting outclassed by Thaksin Lek, because Sexan's still just Terminator, walk forward, gotta kill, gotta kill. Thaksin Lek running him into offense, running him into sweeps, running him into trips, just really showing savvy Muay Thai skill. Round five, it's up in the air, but I believe Sexan's corner let him know, you are down, you got to go out there and do something. Despite the fact that you've got up on this cord, the cards with that down, you've been dictated to so much. You've been running into offense. You've been missing punches. You look so bad in the last two rounds, you got to do something here in round five. Sexan goes out there bringing the war. Landing offense. And then he's able to get into a full body clinch where he's able to get both arms around the lower back. He drops his head into the middle and he just scores knees over and over and over. They're not the most effective knees, but because he gets the position around the lower back, he gets credit for dominating the position and he gets credit for scoring without return strikes and for neutralizing his opponent in the corner. And it happened maybe four or five times in the round. He just kept pushing. Then he feels he's done enough. He stops. Dachshund Leck, who was scoring the savvy movement. He is pretty much neutralized. Didn't get off a lot of kicks in the fifth round. Goes to the cards. When the cards say his name, Sexton was pleased to get his hand raised. It was a close fight. It's one of the more entertaining fights. I might look back on it and see it as one of the fights of the year, but it's so tough because it happened in February. You think so much more is going to happen, but it was definitely a memorable fight. And Sexton, I'm telling you, this dude, he brings the war. So you definitely want to check him out, S-E-K-S-A-N. The other fight I'm going to talk about, it's mentioned. I saw a couple people on Twitter talking about the fight because both Sungmini, because he put on the absolute schooling of Sexton back in December, and he goes against Thanachai. Both of those guys are candidates for Fighter of the Year. Sungmini, S-A-N-G-M-A-N-E-E. T-H-A-N-O-C-H-A-I. This is one of the fights of the year. This one it's in my opinion, it's a clear win for Thanachai. I thought that he won the majority of the exchanges. But if you watch this fight, Sungmini, who came out and was the killer in the Sexton fight, he killed him with movement, killed him with making him miss, making him, you know, punch at air, scoring move. He put on an absolute clinic in that fight. He goes out here and he gets low kicked to death by Thanachai. It's rare that you see low kicks build up enough to hurt someone in a Thai stadium fight. Usually, once they build up, they hide it, and then they go down. So if you watch porn tonight fights, he's a big time low kicker as a Thai. But most of the Thais usually play the body kick because it scores the highest, and you can see the damage because it moves the body a little bit more. Whereas the low kick can score, and sometimes guys can just be stronger in their legs and they can kind of play it off. The Thai scoring tends to lean towards a body kick that moves your whole body score, as opposed to a low kick that can only move your leg or scores to the leg and doesn't move it. But Sungmini continued to be the one looking for exchanges, looking to bite down in the mouthpiece, throw back. But Thanachai was putting on a kickboxing clinic. Really just combinations of low kicks, really mean combinations in space. And my favorite thing about the fight is it literally happens like 3 feet away from each other. Like there's not a lot of movement. Most guys are just, they fought right in each other's, you know, they're, you know, I guess the phone booth is what they use in boxing. But they don't have phone booths anymore, so it doesn't make as much sense. But ideally, they're fighting in a dressing room. You know, like they're that close to each other where just exchanges are happening. And there was some clinch, but not a lot of clinch. Just a lot of just straight boxing, kickboxing, low kicks. And then after a spirited back and forth, Thanachai, the work that he put in starts to build up. He was winning the exchanges, as I mentioned before. He's landing big shots. Both guys were throwing heat with their hands and elbows to try to stop it. But Thanachai was scoring more. Plus, the low kick work that he started early in the fight, particularly in the second round, it really started to show up at the end of the fourth. And then he landed the low kick. And then you saw Sungmini kind of do a hop. And once you saw that injury, once you saw that you've been wounded in battle, you can forget about it. The scorecards are not going to go your way unless you're able to score some sort of down. It means that the effective hurting blows are in favor of the opponent. And in that case, Thanachai was the one scoring the effective big-time low kicks, the shots that hurt people. That was what happened in this fight. Round 5, Thanachai scored it, and then pretty much it was just Sungmini submitted defeat, and then they kind of danced around for a minute and a half, 2 minutes. Thanachai gets the victory. Sungmini's got to go ice up, get himself better. Does that secure Fighter of the Year by the writers? We'll see, but Thanachai did have a really nice year, and that's a big-time win. I want to see more from him, so you guys go check that out. Check out that it was a Raja Stadium show, and it was a lot of fun. Going to go ahead and continue going down the path of, I'm going to build up towards the Glory show because, of course, that's the big show this weekend. We're going to go ahead and hit up Lion Fight. Lion Fight having one of their more international draw type cards so far. I'm really, really liking how they're just getting a little bit of international flavor and a lot of American flavor on the undercard. That's good pacing to me. I like that pacing. Now, for me, I'm not going to talk about the full undercard, but I'm going to talk about most of the fights that I think have, you know, they fit in the picture towards the international kickboxing and Muay Thai scene, which is what I do in this podcast. Now, every once in a while, you're going to hear me get a fight that's basically for the purpose of a local fight card. So every once in a while it'll slip in. And if there's a cool KO, I'll definitely mention it for the technical and for the beauty of just kind of, you know, seeing fights get ended by a technique. I'm going to always mention that if it happens. But for the most part, I'm going to say international. I'm going to talk about fights that reflect that. This card has got a lot of good stuff on it, top to bottom. I will go ahead and start with the Chris Masseri versus Nick Chassin fight. Both these guys have fought for the promotion before. Chris Masseri, very skilled. This is a good fight. Of the fights on the card, I think this is the first one where you're like, okay, both these gentlemen, you could see their names coming up as American prospects down the road that can get opportunities. Guys who, if they stay with it, the opportunity to fight in other promotions, not necessarily win, but get the opportunity. You can figure out the wins once you get the opportunity. And I do think that they have, I think they'll put on a good fight. I lean Chris Masseri a little bit, but Nick Chassin is very, very skilled as well. These are just guys that I got to see fight more to know more about, and they're in a good place. This is a good timing. It's a good fight for both guys. Next fight I'm going to talk about are guys who both have international fights on their resume. Kai Hollenbeck, he takes on Justin Greskowitz. And Greskowitz, of course, is a guy who he's fought K-1 before. He's fought Liam Harrison came and fought him in, I want to say that was in Pennsylvania. And Kai Hollenbeck, of course, had the glory run. He's got, you know, a couple of victories on the international stage, but most importantly, he's getting those opportunities. So no shame in, you know, losses to Andy Risty. Like that's losing to Andy Risty, not the end of the world. Losing to Jorge Petrosian, not the end of the world. It shows that you are a kickboxer, Muay Thai guy who's going out there and you're putting yourself against the top, you know, and you've got, he's got the Cyrus Washington win. He's got a good style to play kickboxing, but also to get mean and play with Muay Thai. So he's going to have some fun in there. Kai's going to try some jumping elbows, some spinning stuff. Kai's out there getting that work in. You know, he's going to go out there. Justin, he's got a weird pacing about him, but he's able to score effective offense. So, like, sometimes I don't feel like all of his strikes flow towards, if I watch you fight 100 rounds, that's your identity. Sometimes I feel Justin might give me something different in each of the 100 rounds for what he wants to do. So he's got a weird kind of scoring pace, and he can deceivingly crack. Every once in a while, he'll score a shot where I'm like, man, that came in harder. That caused that guy pain more than I thought was going to come. He rocked that guy more than I thought was going to happen. So this is a good fight. Clearly, I lean Kai Hollenbeck. I feel like he's more tested on the higher level. I feel that he's got he's huge for the weight class. Big, strong guy. That's why he was able to beat Albert Krause. He's just too much. I mean, Albert's older, and Albert's always been small for 154. But it was a great showing by Kai Hollenbeck to put in the offense, to wear him down, to walk him down. That kind of skill is in there. So I lean Kai Hollenbeck to beat Justin Greskowitz. And by lean, I feel like he could win this one pretty clearly. So don't make it seem like I'm on the fence there. I like his skill set a little bit better than Justin Greskowitz. I like his history in the sport. I like his resume. I think Hollenbeck can win. And I can even picture him getting a stoppage in this one. Next fight we're going to talk about is Ogden Topic. Is he, you know, the champion? He will go against Sergio Wilson for the line fight lightweight championship. I'm curious to see what the official weigh-ins are going to be for the lightweight title. Sergio Wilson's small. Sergio Wilson is a guy who fought and was champion at, 61 kgs. He was the It's Showtime champion, had some good international fights, put on a show, just a smaller guy. But he's a guy who could easily, now that, you know, K1 has a 55 kg weight class, Sergio Wilson's a name that I'd like to see come up for that, because I think he can make that weight. He's a small dude, and he's just been fighting, you know, around the, you know, what would be 60 kg mark, you know, around 130, 132 pounds. I could see Sergio Wilson getting closer to 125. I wouldn't rule it out, and I wouldn't rule out at all him making 55 kgs. He's not a big guy, but he's, you know, a longtime Lucien Corbin fighter's had many international opportunities. As I mentioned, the It's Showtime fight before. It's just how he handles the clinch. I like his skill set for scoring offense a little bit better than Topic. But I think Topic can rely on the clinch better than Wilson can. Because the way Lucien Corbin plays clinch, he doesn't play stay in the clinch battle. He plays score the most significant shot in the clinch battle. So he's going to focus on it. He's going to get in there. But he's all about everybody in Holland knows you got to look out for the knees if you go for against a Lucien Corbin guy. And Sergio's been there from the beginning. Like from the Tyrone Spong, like all those guys who were in the gym way back in the day. Sergio's one of those guys who has still stayed throughout the years. He is embedded and Lucien. I don't know if Lucien's going to make the trip out because I've rarely seen him make the flight over to America. It's been a while, but, you know, I would love to see him out there cornering Sergio as he gets this opportunity, which is awesome because Sergio Wilson's in his mid-30s, been doing this for a while, been doing this since he was younger. I'm excited to see how he performs in this. But the skill set of Topic, who comes in as the champion, he's always had unique offense. I really think that if Sergio can't have consistent work against the clinch, like if he can't have consistent success in finding at least opportunities to escape, I think that Topic will win this with size and strength. Because as I mentioned before, Wilson's just not strong for the weight class. But I like the fight, and I think it'll be a lot of fun. We move to the championship bout where Joe Nadewat meets Cedric Manhoef. Cedric Manhoef is a replacement fight, but he's a replacement fight for Kinsett Sangpyeong, and it's Kim, good fighter. He'll get another opportunity. The winner of this will probably end up fighting him. But the reason why I like Cedric Manhoef for taking this fight, and Cedric's got a good chance to win this fight. In fact, I'm going to pick Cedric to win the upset. Joe Nadewat has got a huge advantage in the clinch, But if there's any kind of space at all, Cedric Manhoef is used to fighting bigger. And I think that he can get some, have some of his kickboxing success. I actually think if you're like Steven, gun to your head, who's going to win this fight? I will go with Joe Nadewat. But the way upsets happen is when you see there's something about someone's skill set, something about their offense that they could score enough, in particular with American judges sitting ringside, to score enough boxing, to score enough Muay Thai, or excuse me, enough kickboxing offense to take off someone's Muay Thai offense. If there's a place where I think it can happen, I think it can happen in Connecticut in this main event fight. Now, again, Joe Nadewat, I thought he was getting walked down. I thought that even though he was having success like here and there, I really thought that Kevin Ross was having a lot of offensive success with him before that knee scored. I thought that Kevin was doing some good work there. I think Cedric Manhoef is even better as far as kickboxing scores in space. It's just going to come down to how Nadewat handles getting himself into clinch spots and handles going against a guy who's fought bigger and stronger. I do think this is a good upset to go for, so I'm leaning for Cedric Manhoef to pull off an upset tomorrow night. Should be a lot of fun. Definitely check out Lion Fight 28. It's just, they're doing a better job all the time. Their cards, I'm enjoying them more and more all the time. Going to go ahead and keep on rolling. As we've, you know, go through these cards, I want to, you know, do my best to kind of sell you guys, not just on the athletes, but, you know, on the promotions and how they're moving and whatnot. But we're going to go ahead and go to another promotion who had a pretty solid year last year that's going into their biggest show to date, I would say. February 27th, Infusion's doing it in Holland. They've got title fights on the line. Their heavyweight's got his biggest test. They've got a great women's fight. They've got a good tournament. It's going to be all action. I'll go ahead and start going down this Infusion card in Eindhoven. We will go ahead and start with Sergio Canters, who's one of their young prospects, as he takes on Yacine Batair. Don't rule out Yacine getting an upset here, but I do like Serginho Canters. I like him. He's the kid from Suriname. He's really talented. Sometimes they worried about what his chin can take because he's a little bit younger. I haven't seen him get cracked as much, but I do think he's got good skill set. I think he's a prospect to watch. A lot of people, a lot of eyes are on him. A lot of people think that he could have a lot of success moving forward. I am one of them, but I want to see more. The sample size I got from him is small right now, and Yacine Batair is a guy who I think is brought in to be a good test, you know, a good guy to push him, but I do think that it's set up for Canters to kind of win in such a way where people are drawn to him. But if you're thinking that Yacine is a guy who's going to lay down, I don't think that's going to happen. I think it's going to be a solid battle. I think it's going to be a decision, but I got Serginho Canters, one of the young prospects coming up in Holland right now. I think he's going to get the W here. Samantha Van Doorn was in Fight of the Year last year for me for the women in her fight with Yona Wymans. Of course, Yona Wymans is always in those kind of fights. But Samantha Van Doorn, if you give her space, she can kickbox. And Patricia Gibili is a girl I've seen fight before. I've seen her fight. She's one of the girls that, you know, I look back and go, man, her and Sarah DeBabe are girls that I missed when I was talking about the best fighters in the women's game. So shout out to both of them. Gibili is from Poland, and Sarah DeBabe is from Holland. She was in the sport for a while. She's always been consistent, but she just came and went in terms of, like, really getting some notoriety. She was in a tournament that had some pretty good focus on it. But then after the tournament, I didn't focus on her as much. But here and there, a fight would pop out, and she won a world championship. Shout out to Sarah DeBabe. She's someone that I should have mentioned when I did that show. And then Patrizia Gabelli, always been doing solid work. She's starting to get international opportunities. If Samantha Van Doorn gets her space, Samantha Van Doorn wins. She's a shorter girl, but her kickboxing flow, hook to low kick, it just comes natural. Like, she's got it down, just like, you know, the regular style of the Dutch. I really like that hands to kick flow when she gets somebody who can put the earmuffs on. She'll really go to work. She'll go bang, 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 low kick any day. Most of the time, because of the movement, because of the clinching, she usually just gets in a clean cross hook low kick or hook low kick, jab low kick. She's able to do that cleanly in space. So I'm hoping that the most important thing is that the fight is clean, because sometimes the women's fights for their brand, when the women allow themselves to kickbox, they put on entertaining fights, which is why Yona Wymans is so good, which is why Denise Akilholtz is a woman that you like to watch fight. But sometimes when they are in a hurry to get into offensive spots, it gets a little ugly, and it gets a little grabby, and there's a lot of hugs, and it doesn't flow as well. I think this fight's got the potential to give that space, and Samantha Van Doorn can get a win scoring kickboxing in space, and I think it should be a good one. We go to the tournament field. And the tournament field is amazing. These are guys who all won four-man tournaments last year. So this is the build-up. That's the way to do it. That's how you sell this. The only problem I had with it is this event probably should have happened in December. That way your year of work ends in December. Now, the tournament field probably goes back to February of last year. But I remember them talking about this card. It's like, man, it's far. That's really far away for me to see how this ends. I'm excited that we're kind of head in a direction where I can see the finality of it, for sure. I can finally see the end of the road coming. And it comes on this night where Nordin Benma, Mohamed Jiraya, Tayfun Askin, and Medicik Kamara are the guys that we're going to pay attention to after a year plus of build-up. First fight, Nordin Benmo versus Mohamed Jiraya. This is all action. Nordin Benmo is an awesome kickboxer. He's got KO power. Mohamed Jiraya, the 18-year-old going on 19, probably 19 now. He's the super kid. He's a kid. He's another one of those guys that I've been watching from a really, really young age. I'm excited to see him do work here. I feel like he's been winning and doing big things for their promotion for like 3 years. And when I rewatched one of the fights last year, I was like, man, he was 18 in the Oskin fight. His fight with Tayfun Oskin last year was my unchallenged fight of the year. When I had that kind of hesitation when I did my year-end show, I re-looked at the fights. There was no doubt about it. Mohamed Jiraya versus Tayfun Oskin, fight of the year. Clear. So, in this tournament field, he meets Nordin Benma first, and I think that the tell for this fight will be how much each guy takes from each other. I got Mohamed Jiraya winning because I think that he's the most skilled guy in the tournament despite his age. He's, you know, I love that he's got the look. He's still got, you know, baby face on him. He's got the skill set. He's got the kickboxing. He's got the volume of offense. That's the toughest thing, because even if you can score something big on Jiraya, his chin holds up. Like, he's done some like straight knees where he's leaned back and guys have caught him big while he was leaning back, and he just gets his poise back and he goes back to work. Nordin can land those kind of shots, but I just think Jiraya is going to outscore him. Wouldn't be surprised if Jiraya landed a knee or something that would stop him, but I got Mohamed Jiraya moving on. Tayfun Askin goes against Medicik Kamara. Kamara has the ability to make this tough and grinding, but I do not think he has the ability to beat Tayfun Askin. Askin is just going to be able to score more. He's got a better kickboxing flow. I love the double hook high kick that he plays with. I just think that his body work is consistent scoring. Tayfun Askin is a guy to look out for. That dude can fight, you know. And I think that the final will be Mohamed Jiraya and Tayfun Askin. And I really think it just depends on how much is taken out of him in the earlier fight of the tournament. I'm leaning on Mohamed Jiraya to once again win because he has the ability to put out the most offensive output. I always lean that way. I'm always going to lean towards who do I think can score the most. Who do I think can put the most offense together? That's always going to be the guy who I choose to win rounds and choose to win fights. But we'll see. We will see. Time will tell if, you know, who wins after the wear of what the early fights do. And we're leaving out that both Kamara and Nordin Benma have the opportunity to beat Askin and Jiraya. But on the eye test, Askin and Jiraya should meet in the final. And I got Jiraya outscoring him in what could be another awesome fight and in an awesome tournament. We move down and we go to another Infusion brought up prospect in Ibrahim Al-Bustadi as he goes against Patrick Van Reese. Bustadi should win and should get a stoppage here. Van Reese is, you know, I've heard the name. He's not as consistent. I don't know him as well as I know other fighters, you know, in Holland. But, Al-Bustadi, of course, is trying to bounce back from the loss to Artur Kashenko. Was another showcase opportunity for him. Didn't go his way, but he's still talented enough to win this fight pretty handedly. Ilias Belaide goes against Edson Fortes. This is a win for Ilias Belaide. This five-round title fight should be fun. I think Ilias is going to get a stoppage at some period of time. Edson Fortes is a guy who he's serviceable, and Fusion has used him before. I think he's going to come out, put up some. So he's not going to bow down. But just Ilias Belaide is just one of the extreme elite talents in the world. Got married last year. Still put up big wins. I would like him to work himself into an opportunity to fight another guy like Masaki Nori, because Masaki Nori, that fight was very huge for the significance of the 65 kg weight class. This fight's at 67. That fight was huge for where Belaide stands in the world, because he's blowing people out, but that was his first step up fight. We need to see him in more of those opportunities. Him beating Edson Fortes returns him into that position. This is a three-rounder. I think Belaide's going to land something at some period of time to score a stoppage in here. But Ilias Belaide, he's the truth. Definitely watch this kid fight. The last fight I'm going to talk about in the card is Ismael Lazar getting his big, big fight opportunity with Jafar Wilness. Jafar Wilness, of course, is a guy who had a really, really close fight with Benjamin Adebuyi last year, who had a great run with Kunlun, got a lot of wins there. Always considered the other Wilness in my mind. He has really had a good year. Ismael Lazar, he's been knocking out guys. His weight has come and gone because he plays that throw the big hook overhand. He's got a good kill streak about him. Great fan base, but of course people know him because of the belly. He definitely does not look like your all-star kickboxer. There's a lot of gut sitting there, and sometimes the variation of his state determines how well he wins fights. And when he's in shape, sometimes he goes out there, he's able to blow somebody out, and his step-up battles before, you know, are just guys who were, you know, kind of middlemen in glory that kind of made their way down to him. Fights that I'm like, you know what? I'm glad you got the win here, but, you know, some of these wins, I didn't know if they were coming because of your physical state. And he was in some fights last year where I'm like, dude, he's going to blow this guy out by KO, and it went five rounds. He should be training hard and ready for this, because Jafar Wilness will be the biggest win of his career. Liver Kick's got Jafar Wilness as number three heavyweight in the world right now. A win here would really, really, and it also gives validity to the Infusion world title. It lets people look at that title and say, man, this title holder just beat the number three guy in the world on the Liver Kick ranking. And I think that it would go a long way towards where Ismael sits in terms of the world perspective of him, because he really is a guy who you're like, man, he's got a, you know, big smile and laugh and that kind of stuff, but it's just, he's got that huge fan base, but he doesn't look the part. But the dude can fight. He throws some mean overhands. He gets into a pretty good low kick flow when he plays with it, but really he plays overhands and looks for big KO shots, and time will tell. I am leaning towards, because it's five rounds, I'm leaning towards Wilness. This one I do mean lean, because I have this close, because I do think Lazar can score that offense. But Wilness is not going to abandon throwing low kicks and just doing steady work. And if he doesn't take anything big upstairs, and he usually does a good job of, even if he loses, getting to the cards, I think Jafar Wilness is going to be able to win this fight. With the accumulation of low kicks, the work will probably show up in the fourth and fifth round. He should be able to outscore him, but don't rule out Lazar, because he can land those shots that get scorecards turned, those big overhands, those big winging shots. So it should be a lot of fun. This should be a big night for the Infusion brand after a really good year last year, going to new places, giving opportunities for female fighters, giving opportunities for young up-and-coming fighters, developing their own young stars. I really like what Infusion is doing. Infusion Live, they'll be going on. So be Saturday, depending upon where you are in the world, be looking to go to Infusion.com TV or InfusionTV.com. The shows will be free online for you to watch. So we go ahead and, of course, wrap it up with Glory. I mentioned, just like a side note, the Glory 28 card, I'm not going to talk about it until we get there, but three title fights, 11 fights total. it is what a great kickboxing card is supposed to be. Like the lineups, top to bottom, it is a great kickboxing card. I cannot wait for it. The things that are doing it, even a fight like Freddy Camacho against Xavier Vinny, where you're bringing up a young prospect to go against a seasoned veteran, and you've got two young guns who want to be the future of the sport, Josh Johnson and Anatoly Moiseev at lightweight. You've got that. You've got Jason Wellness and Philip Verlinden, you steady guys in the weight class getting together. So you've got young prospects looking to test each other, to test themselves against each other. One young prospect going against an older veteran in the sport, looking to find out where they are. You've got Mostafa Mirani against Tahir Adamchuk, guys who are fighting for a title. So Saul Calvari, Artem Provokative. So three title fights means three guys competing for the recognized best fighter in the world in the weight class. Even though I would say the Adamchuk and Amirani, that guy, the winner of that fight will be the glory championship, not necessarily the best fighter in the world's the weight class. I do believe that K1's got a better featherweight weight class. But when I look at it, I'm like, man, this card is what it's all about. And then, of course, you finish it all off with Rico Verhaeven, your heavyweight champion. You've got great stuff on this card. So when Paris comes out, it's just an absolutely wonderful fight card. It's the highest level of kickboxing card I've seen in quite some time, and it'll be a lot of fun. So let's go ahead and get into, you know, the last glory card. I'll go ahead and go top to bottom. Casey Green against Daniel Morales. I definitely got Casey Green winning this one. I think that he should be. Daniel might be able to get to the card, but I think he's going to win by stoppage. Green's got a weird style, and he can land shots pretty big. Should be interesting. I'm definitely curious to see how this one plays out. Casey Green, if he gets this win, he's got to just get in glory and say, hey, get me against a guy from Europe. Let me test myself. Even if he loses, who cares? Let me go out there and test myself. Let me see what I am. Let me see what I can do. Definitely excited to see what comes from him moving forward. Richard Abraham is going against Paul Jędrzejczyk. That's right. Spelled just like the Jędrzejczyk of the UFC champion and strawweight. Paul Jędrzejczyk is for sure going to win. I've got him winning a decision. He just, his offensive output, his combination of the low kick flow, he would have to be able to land something crazy on him for him to not outscore Richard Abraham. I definitely got Paul Jędrzejczyk winning over Richard Abraham quite handily. Maybe a low kick stoppage in the end of the third, but this should be his fight. Demario Dennis against Guto Incente. Guto Incente, again, Demario Dennis is a friend of mine, so I'm not going to be able to give a winner of this fight. I've worked with him before in the past. But Guto Incente has good kickboxing flow. Demario Dennis has got good kickboxing flow, too, but he can also crack. I wouldn't be surprised if he landed something big to drop Guto Incente. And I also wouldn't be surprised if Guto, who should be a light heavyweight, in my opinion, I wouldn't be surprised if he's able to get his kickboxing on, you know. It should be a good fight from both guys. I'm excited to see how it goes, and I hope that it entertains the show. And again, the Super Fight Series fights that I'm talking about, this will be on the Fight Pass for UFC. It'll be their first fight that they have, our first Super Fight Series that they have on Fight Pass. So definitely be ready to see that for those of you who are Fight Pass subscribers. If not, hit up UFC.tv and get on that. I'm on it just in general because I'm a coach and I want to see old fights and I like having that access, but this gives more value to my Fight Pass money, so definitely check it out. Heavyweight Anderson Broderick Silva is going to meet Maurice Green. Again, Maurice Green, weird style. Maurice Green, I've had him in the gym before. Like, Maurice Green, he fights both stances. His practice pace and his fight pace are way different. He doesn't seem like he could crack, but fight night, he starts letting him go, and he can land some pretty good shots. Maurice Green is huge. He's about 6'9", 6'10". He's a good-sized guy. He can land some shots. I might be remembering that wrong. I definitely think he's about 6'9", but he's tall. He's a tall dude, and he can land shots from weird angles and so on. Anderson Broderick Silva got that steady kickboxing. I think Anderson Broderick Silva wins this fight because of the history and because of the kickboxing. But does Green have the punching to score on Silva, who has some weird losses and fights that he'd been winning, and then he gets touched and he goes down? Yes, Green could punch him in that way. Green could for sure do it. But Silva's preparation and the team around him, his kickboxing flow, his experience should carry him here. He should get the W. The Super Fight Series, and this is when it was a little bit weird to me, but because it's not Spike TV anymore, it makes sense. Joe Schilling is going to go against Mike Lemaire as Super Fight Series winner. That one's going to be on your Fight Pass main event. Joe Schilling should win over Mike LeMaire because I believe that he's got more skill set. He can score more consistent offense. Mike LeMaire can hit him with something. But Mike still, even with his offense, he can be a little stiff and he can have big gaps in scoring and activity. Whereas Schilling, he usually doesn't have those gaps. Schilling can score both stances. He does, you know, weird. He's got weird movement. He's got a weird rhythm to get a hold of. And Schilling has got the ability to land something big to drop someone at any time. I think Schilling is going to catch LeMaire with something that put him down. I don't know if it'll KO him, but it'll definitely put him down. I got Joe Schilling winning this fight, even though it's on 2.5, 3 weeks notice, whatever it is. Schilling's in the gym pretty regularly. I think he'll be able to get a victory here. We move on to the main card. Main card, we go through the tournament first. Dustin Jacoby meets Carl Roberson first. Carl Roberson, I know many of you are not as familiar with him, but I think that his kickboxing skill set is better, in my mind, than it is for Dustin Jacoby. Dustin Jacoby getting better all the time, but the last tournament that he was in, I'm glad that he was able to get wins, and I'm glad that he's able to get that victory over Wayne Barrett. I just don't see him beating Carl Roberson, who I think is the best kickboxer of the four in this tournament. I think Roberson, I won't say he'll stop him, he could, but I think he'll get a decision over Dustin Jacoby. Dustin's working hard. I just think that Carl, and I've had Dustin in the gym before too, but I just think that Carl Roberson's skill set for kickboxing is the better of the is better than him as of right now. Wayne Barrett versus Robert Thomas is going to be interesting. I like Thomas's kickboxing better, and he does a better job of just being a career kickboxer, staying in the gym, getting better all the time. Whereas Wayne Barrett has had some trouble with training camps before and life things. If everything's clean, Wayne Barrett can go out there and score well and score a KO over Robert Thomas. He can do it, no question about it. But Wayne Barrett, you just, the only thing I worry about with him is the other side of the fight world. You know, just, are you getting in the gym? Are you getting that kickboxing flow? He's a guy who would benefit greatly by going out to Holland full time. Tom Haring's back. Be a great job for him to go out and work for Tom Haring. Like he needs to do stuff like that to just focus kickboxing because he's every bit the athlete to have success. He just doesn't have the fights and gym consistency. That's a big one. So Wayne Barrett, I got him going on. Him going on to put in a good fight, but I got Robert Thomas winning the fight, and then I think Carl Roberson beats, gets a decision over Robert Thomas, who's spirited, good athlete, works hard. You hear good stuff. I've heard really good things about Robert Thomas, who just shows up in the gym, works hard, you know, yes sir, no sir type of guy, and he's getting good kickboxing, he's traveling, he's putting himself out there, but I just think Carl Roberson is the better kickboxer of the field and the better kickboxer of those two. Robertson wins this fight, and then he goes on to meet, I would say, the winner of Artem Levin and Simon Marcus, unless they go Joe Schilling there. I would see Robertson being a guy who got that opportunity. Giga Chikadze gets Kevin Van Noordstrand. This is a replacement fight. But it was replaced with a decent enough time for Kevin Van Noordstrand, not huge time. Either way, Giga is going to win. It's just about how much Giga leads for himself in the third round. You know, like Giga's been up before and has had bad showings in the third round. But I think that he's the better, more skilled guy, more seasoned. He's fought all over the world, fought at Showtime. Was at Mike's gym for a really long time. Chikadze should win this fight pretty handily. I don't think he'll stop him, but I think he'll get a decision. Entertaining style. I got him winning that fight. Which brings us to the last fight I'm going to break down. The last fight I'm going to talk about, Artem Levin against Simon Marcus. They do it again. And Simon Marcus has got Artem's number because in Full Rules Muay Thai, Simon Marcus dominant clinch victory over 5 rounds. And I want to say that was line. Was that line fight? I think it was. But Simon Marcus definitely dominated Artem Levin there. It's Levin's got great resume. He was known as the bully when he was in, by me, known as the bully, known as aggressive style where he would be mean, catch someone's kick, had no problem throwing you out of the ring, had no problem, you know, doing a little bit dirty elbow, throwing you to the ground. Like, he had no problem being a bigger, stronger, meaner guy. Moves up to middleweight, runs into Simon Marcus, who doesn't know the bigger, stronger, meaner guy outside of himself. Simon Marcus is a guy who I thought won the fight last year. He's got the ability to bite down and throw heat a little bit better than Artem Levin. Artem Levin needs space. I think Marcus gets it done this time. I think Simon Marcus, and again, I am 50-50 in this fight, but I think that he's going to be able to score the strong offense, close the gap. I wouldn't be surprised if Artem Levin got a point taken from him again. I think Artem Levin is the more skilled, savvy, stance-switching guy to score clean offense in space. But Simon will just bite down and just throw heat, and I think Simon's response to defense is usually through movement. And sometimes he needs to use his guard a little bit more and then look to counter out of there. Because he doesn't, he's going to give Marcus the opportunity to score those big shots. It should be close, super close once again, but I've got a slight 48-47 lean towards Marcus. Levin should be right there. Wouldn't be surprised at all if Levin wins. I'm telling you, I'm 51-49 on this fight. I love Artem Levin's skill set, but I just got Simon Marcus winning in Chicago tomorrow. So that's my show. I hope you guys enjoyed it. Definitely do my best to keep bringing you stuff. And I want to bring you as many organizations as I can. Today, I hit up the Thai Stadium. I hit up Lion Fight. Hit up Infusion. Hit up Glory. I'm trying to keep it as international as I can. Keep giving you guys the best kickboxing in the world. So thank you very much. Thank you to all my listeners. Make sure if you're in position to go see these events live, go check them out. Support our sport. If not, hit up Fight Pass so you can see the Glory card. Hit up Infusion Live.tv so that you can see the Infusion cards. It's going to be free. So if you follow me on Twitter, you'll see me posting about it. Get behind the sport and get behind our athletes, everybody. Thank you very much. Love you all. God bless and have a good one. Peace.